But initially, when it was first made, he used to wear it, and it comes in hadith that he used to take that ring off before he would enter the washroom. And then you go ahead to relieve yourself. So you should sit to relieve yourself. This is sunnah. You do not want to face the qibla. It's considered makruh to face the qibla. So you should, and you know, in this day and age it's very difficult, because in that day, when you know, during the earlier days, you could decide which way you were going to face, because you would just find some low ground and go ahead and use the washroom there. But here, the toilet's already built, and so it may not apply as much for you at this particular moment in your life, but let's say one day Allah gives you the tawfiq to have a choice between two houses. This is something you should look at. Just like people go into a house and look at what school district is it in, where is the kitchen, where is the master bedroom, how many walk-in closets. Something you should look at to keep in mind is which, you know, do the bathrooms face the qibla or not. It sounds foolish, but it's actually very important. It's part of the sharia. It's a nice way to sort of respect the sharia while you make these kind of decisions, because you have tons of options when you're buying places. And especially if you build your own house, a lot of people build their own house. When you build your own house, there's no excuse. You should keep in mind these type of things. Anyway, then you'll actually sit to relieve yourself and make sure you don't face the qibla, or try your best not to face the qibla. After you relieve yourself, then you will purify yourself. And that's actually what we mean by istinja. How you purify yourself after using the washroom. Istinja is prohibited in three different ways. One, you can use water only. Two, you could use, in the time of the Prophet, they use stones, but we use toilet paper, which is permissible. So two, you could use toilet paper only. And three, you can use both. If it's, let's say you urinated, in that case, all three are permissible. Water, toilet paper, or both. And obviously, both are considered best. If it's the case of stooling, so you've stooled and you relieve yourself in that way, then you can use all three under certain circumstances. So for example, if you've stooled and it's the actual excrement left your body in a very straightforward manner without spreading anywhere, then you can use toilet paper alone. That's fine. But if it's spread and you need, and it's gone beyond the area of its exit and it's spread, then you have to go ahead and use water. It becomes wajib to use water to purify yourself, because that's the only way you can get rid of everything. Now, in this day and age, basically we use both. It's rare that you would be forced to use toilet paper only, perhaps in a public bathroom when you had no other recourse. But in this day and age, basically we can use both fairly easily. So you should try to use both. So what will happen is, let's say in the case of if you've urinated, you'll basically use toilet paper to remove any residual drops that might be left, and then wash that area, the private part. Now, one of the big problems people have is after they urinate, they feel like later on drops continue to come out, or they never know when they're really done. And so my teacher one day, actually, while we were studying hadith, which is kind of unique, because you know when you're studying hadith, every minute counts, because you have so many hadith to read, and you have such little time, but he actually took out a whole 45-minute class and spent the whole 45 minutes explaining to us how you should clean yourself just after urinating. So basically what he told us was, the first thing you should do is completely remove whatever you feel like you're going to remove. So you've got everything out that you want to relieve yourself of. Then after that, you should cough a few times to increase your intra-abdominal pressure and push out any other drops. And then what you'll do is start at the very base of the private part and actually wring your way up. And that will actually remove drops. Big drops will actually come. So if you take a piece of toilet paper and you actually wring out those drops, if you put, you know, the toilet paper at the organ, you'll see that first a big drop will come, and then another drop, and another drop, and they'll become subsequently smaller. And so you're wringing from the very base all the way to the tip, and you'll actually remove most of the drops of impurity that way. And that was one of the advices that he gave us, and that was a major piece of advice, because otherwise later on those drops continue to leak out, and then you really become confused. Now once you've done that, and you've actually removed every last bit, then what you want to do is wet the private part. Wash the private part, and then put extra water on the private part. So that when you actually put on your underwear, then any residual wetness will actually come upon your underwear and remain there, so that if you feel a drop later on, you can just say, no, it was just the water. It helps you to remove waswasat. And actually, this is from the sunnah. So you should leave some residual water on your private part, so that when you actually wear your clothing, then that will actually put some moisture on your clothing as well, and it'll allow you to avoid the waswasat of thinking that drops are coming and they continue to come. So this is important, because this is one of the ways in which you battle shaitan. Otherwise, he will mess with you all day. feel like you're constantly removing drops, and he'll just completely distract you in your salah. Part of the way in which you handle shaitan is you create circumstances in which you make yourself certain that it's pure, unless proven otherwise. Now, if you obviously know that a lot of urine has come out, then you can't ignore it. But if you think that there's some minute drop and you're not sure, and you feel the moisture of that water is there for sure, and you don't know if urine is there, then you always go with surety. Certainty, yaqeen, is always dominant until you have some other yaqeen that takes you out of it. So shak does not take you away from yaqeen. So the yaqeen then would be that you're already wet from cleaning yourself, and I don't know, it could be urine, it may not be urine, so therefore you'll ignore it. Because that's shak, and that's a doubt. So yaqeen will not be removed unless you have another yaqeen to remove it. After stooling, you're going to purify yourself with both toilet paper to remove any residual impurity, and then water to remove as much as you can. Remove, just an extra cleaning. It's sort of mubalagha. It's going, making sure that you're very clean. Then what you want to do is, one thing that you want to keep in mind, actually, is that while you're actually purifying yourself in the month of Ramadan, especially the posterior part of your body after stooling, you do not want water to get anywhere into that rectal tract, because that is counted as part of the GI tract. And if any nutrients go in that area, then it gets absorbed and it counts as if it potentially can break your fast. Just like if you had a small child and you'd give them an enema, a Tylenol, a rectal Tylenol, you just put it into the rectum and the body absorbs it, that's because that's still part of the GI tract. So it counts as part of the GI tract, so you should be careful during the month of Ramadan not to be excessive in cleaning yourself, and be careful with how far the water goes. So that's something to keep in mind during the month of Ramadan. Then the final thing you'll do is, once you've actually relieved yourself, is that you'll then leave the washroom, and when you leave the washroom, you'll leave with your right foot, as if you want to get your right foot back into the world of zikr as soon as possible. And then you'll say Ghufranak. Ghufranak is the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, and the ulama have multiple interpretations for it. Ghufranak means your forgiveness, O Allah. And some people discuss the fact that this perhaps could mean Ghufranak in the sense that, O Allah, I ate and I was excessive to the extent that I had produced waste, so I seek your forgiveness. Or it can also mean perhaps that Ghufranak, I seek your forgiveness, Ya Allah, you created me only for the sake of dhikr, and while I was in the bathroom I had to stop that dhikr, so I seek your forgiveness now and I return back to the world where I can continue to remember you with my tongue. So that's another reason why perhaps we may say Ghufranak. But basically the real reason is, it's hadith. And hadith is hadith, so we follow the hadith. These are just hikmah behind perhaps why the Prophet ﷺ may have said this. The final thing is that there are some adab of the restroom which we should keep in mind. The first is that we should cover our head when you're in the restroom. So you should wear a cover over your head in the restroom. The second is that you shouldn't open up your awra too much. You should only open your awra as much as necessary in order to use the washroom. The third is that you shouldn't talk at all in the washroom. Obviously, you shouldn't take the dhikr of Allah on your tongue, but you shouldn't talk at all while you're using the washroom. And this is completely different than what you find, especially in our public washrooms. People are just having conversations while they're using the washroom. And we don't do that. That's not part of our tradition. So you shouldn't talk while you're using the restroom. In fact, even if you sneezed, you shouldn't say Alhamdulillah. In your heart, you should just say Alhamdulillah, according to the fuqaha. And the very last thing is, you should not stand. And I mentioned this already, and unfortunately, this is a big problem. People just stand and use the restroom, and that's against the sunnah. And also, not only that, but it completely impurifies the whole bathroom. So the next 10 people that use the bathroom, they have no idea that there's drops of urine all over the place. And it really creates a big problem for the rest of the community, especially in the masjid. There's no excuse in the masjid. There's no excuse in the masjid. Now, the only time when you can stand, according to the sunnah, is if you go to a place that's so dirty, it's so dirty that if you tried to sit, you would impurify yourself. That's the only time you can stand and use the restroom. So in that case, then you would stand. And in fact, there are hadith in which Prophet ﷺ visited, for example, the garbage dump of Atta Sabat at the Qawmin. The Prophet ﷺ went to the garbage dump of a particular group of people. He relieved himself while standing. So in that case, it's permissible.